Power.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Security is...
It's 10:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. Beautiful day, blue skies and sunshine. This hour's top story, a bank robbery in the Mill Creek area and the suspect's voice recorded on a cell phone as he yelled, demanding money. Unified Police responded to a call at the U.S. Bank Mill Creek location. The man fled in a red Chevy Blazer with an undisclosed amount of cash. He's described as a white male in his 40s, 5'10", medium build. If you have information, contact Unified Police. Wildfires fanned by winds have destroyed at least 15 structures in Ventura County, California. The Lone Peak Hotshots from Draper are assisting in fighting the fire. Ventura County Fire Department's Dan Horton says crews from all over the country help each other in firefighting efforts.
I don't think there's any fire department that's big enough where they can handle something like this alone. So we all kind of help each other out in these situations, and it's the system works really, really well.
Winds have died down overnight. Crews hope to have the fire knocked down by Monday. As they watch the Southern California wildfire, officials have begun preparations for this summer's Utah fire season, especially after what happened last year. Utah Division of Forestry's Jason Curry says there will be wildfires.
This year, you know, we're expecting at least a normal fire season, but probably slightly above normal and definitely above normal down in the southern part of the state. Their snowpack is lower and things are a little bit drier.
Temperature, weather patterns, snowpack, moisture indicate a certainty that fires will happen in Utah this summer. Coming up on KSL News Radio, sunny, warming, and will it be a little wet? We'll check your KSL forecast. KSL News Time, 10:05.
Utah's afternoon news with Scott and Maria.
The vehicle continued north on I-15. He called out pursuit.
3 till 7 on KSL News Radio.
I don't know what it is about spring. It kind of makes us all want to start cleaning up the house, doing some spring cleaning, going out, getting things in order in the yard. And of course, one place you need to pay attention, you need to pay attention to your pantry. Make sure that's in order with the food storage that you know your family ought to have on hand. This is a great time of year to open that pantry door, take a look around, and then call this number, 1-877-273-2315, or go over to the keyboard and pound out dailybread.com. Either way, you'll get all the information on food storage for your home, for your family, for your needs. Whether it's a long-term plan, short-term plan, whether you're planning for just yourself or a couple of other people or a huge family, the people at Daily Bread can help. We've counted on them for years, and their food is delicious. It's easy to prepare. 25-year worry-free food storage. Daily Bread. Go to dailybread.com or call 1-877-273-2315 and get your free sample.
Reading getting the sprinklers going this year.
Whatever. Once it gets past 60 degrees, that's the only way my kids bathe.
7 till 10 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. There's an accident, I-15 southbound at 80th South. It's impacting the traffic flow somewhat and should be cleared in the next half hour, 45 minutes or so. But for right now, there's some slowdowns. I-15 again at 80th South. Southbound lanes. Mostly sunny, chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. 72 the high. Sutherland's spring catalog is here. Sutherland's decking adds value and an enjoyable outdoor space. Cimarron composite decking is just $1.50 per linear foot. Save 45% compared to their competitors. That's at Sutherland's in Salt Lake, 58 degrees at 10:07. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah. Hey.
the KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the third and final hour this week for the KSL Greenhouse. As Dan just mentioned, boy, great-looking day to get out and enjoy the garden as we leap into spring. Kind of was slow coming. I think there might be one more cold snap left, though.
There usually is at this time of year another cold snap. It's Utah, and we bounce back and forth before we finally will go from 70 to 90 all of a sudden.
That kind of happens. Let's talk now with Jerry Goodspeed. Jerry, good morning. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Good morning.
Hi, Jerry.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I've been talking to you and JD over the last couple of weeks, and I know that Utah Botanical Center, the USU Botanical Center, has some events coming up that might be fun for the family, and so I thought it would be good to have you come on the air and talk about what's going on.
Thanks, Don. Yeah, we do. We have next Saturday, well, Friday and Saturday, the 9th and the 10th, I think that's when it is. Anyway, next Friday and Saturday, we have our baby animal days, which is really fun for the family, and that's the whole point of it. It's the 10th and the 11th, by the way. And what we do is on Friday from 2 to 8 and on Saturday from 10 to 6, we are open for families to come, and we have a number of baby animals. We have also, we'll have baby reptiles this year. They can come and they can pet the ducks and the chickens and hold them, the little babies. And What we use it for is a fundraiser for the our youth 4-H programs in Davis County, and also for the Botanical Center itself to build new gardens, basically to keep more green space available to people. And this year we're kind of trying to work on a new perennial demonstration garden.
That's great. I know the Botanical Center there in Kaysville is pretty much a self-funded nonprofit, and a lot of times it's whatever you can do to raise money to make things go, and it's a beautiful facility. And so I know that Cache Valley had a baby animal days a few weeks ago that was very successful, and it's just amazing when the kids come into these and get to pet the animals and just get all the, you know, do the free fun things that's going on.
Isn't that the coolest thing to see? I mean, it's so fun because a lot of these kids have never done this, and you know, you're watching them, and they just have these big eyes and this great big smile, and they pick up the animals and they are the little babies, and they get a hold of them and pet them, and some kids squeal, and of course a couple of the kids are scared of them, but you know, and then just watching them walk around, and we also have horse rides there for them, and maybe the first time for most of them to ever be on a horse, and. Yeah, it's just fun. It's just a good, fun family activity.
It is. So that's, again, on the 10th and 11th. What time can folks come in?
On Friday, it's from 2 in the afternoon until 8 in the evening, and on Saturday, it's 10 in the morning until 6.
And how do you get to where do you want folks to come to?
We're here at in Kaysville, right by the ponds. That's how most people know it, just by the ponds. We're on 50 West. And the exact address is 875 South, 50 West in Kaysville. And you'll see signs. We'll have parking there, which is free. To get into the event, it's $25 for a family of six. There are also a lot of coupons out there in different places where you can get a coupon for $5 off that and have the family of six come in for $20 if you do it electronically. And you just have to go to babyanimaldays.org.
babyanimaldays.org for the information. Yep. Very good. I had a couple other questions for you. I know that, you know, USU has horticulturists along the Wasatch Front, and a lot of times it's good to talk to folks about what they're seeing going on. And one thing I've seen lately is that a lot of folks are buying lawn weed killer, the dandelion killers from the garden centers. And would you mind taking a few minutes and just covering what should be done with the lawn weed killers to maximize their effectiveness and minimize risk?
Well, you know, I'm always a proponent of let's be very safe with it and let's make sure we use it. It's kind of funny, Tony, and you and I have talked about this, where a person will have four dandelions in the yard and then they'll buy a $50 bag of weed and seed and put it out there to kill the four dandelions when it would have taken you 3 minutes to go dig them up and then you'd be done. So, you know, the first thing I tell people is, you know, if you have a major problem, yeah, by all means, those products are out there. But if you're just looking at a couple of weeds, send your kid out. I don't know if you don't want to, but I kind of like it just to go out and pick out a couple of dandelions, and it doesn't take much. And be a little bit tolerant, you know. I'm always of the opinion we over-fertilize and we overkill weeds in our lawns, where if we were just a little patient, a little tolerant, and realize, and I get in trouble for saying this, but it's just lawn, you know.
It is. And my lawn, if I can mow it, I mow it. And, you know, so if those weeds are in there, I'll just mow them. If I can pop them out, great. But I don't use a lawn weed killer, but about every 4 or 5 years to where I might finally get a buildup that it would actually necessitate using one. And so, man, if you've got some clover, you've got a few dandelions, either pop them out, mow over them, and just you can tolerate them, you know, because to maintain our lawns like, quote unquote, the golf courses do, it takes a lot. And we don't know everything that goes on those golf courses either.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Tom. However, having said that, I know that there are a lot of people that take pride in the perfect lawn. And, you know, a pre-emergent, which should have been applied a couple weeks ago, but it's still not too late. A lot of people are probably asking you, is it too late? And, no, if you have a problem with crabgrass, birch, by all means, that's what the pre-emergents are out there for. Just be judicious when you put it down. And the other thing, Tom, that I have found, just treat your lawn right. I mean, mow it a little bit taller, don't overwater, and that's going to eliminate a lot of the weeds too. Just have a healthy lawn.
That's very correct. And so for those folks that want to or need to use a lawn weed killer, the other thing that I've noticed is that we have a tendency to apply those when it's too hot. And so this time of year, when we're in the 70s, is a great time. But when it gets above 85 or 90 degrees, there's really some bad things that can go on.
Really bad. And you and I both know that's probably the number one problem we see throughout the summer is people using broadleaf weed killers. And then having them volatilize, drift, kill, or at least damage neighbor plants, you know. So if you're going to be using those, use them right now. Use them before the temperatures get up above 85. And a lot of people will tell me, well, I put it down in the morning when it was only 70 degrees. 48 hours, I think. Is that right, Tom? 48 hours where it has to be below 85.
It's going to depend on the product, but even if the product doesn't, you know, they always say to apply below 85, but I've noticed that when I've applied below 85, even if it's in the evening, that I still get on tomatoes and peppers. If I sprayed near those, when I follow the instructions, they still get the leaf scorch and different things on them. And so I just generally tell people, unless it's an emergency, spray in the spring and fall.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Don't spray them in the summer when we get really hot temperatures. And we do see it a lot. But that's mostly what I tell people. If you're going to control the weeds, do it right now. And even better yet, do it in the fall, when you can get a much better kill on them than in the spring. And the pre-emergent, and then, you know, fertilization. Make sure you're fertilizing it if you're after that really deep green look. And mow it a little bit taller. Most people, you know, that'll help control weeds. Most people like to scalp their lawn, make it into a putting green, and really you're not trying to do that.
No, Kentucky bluegrass does not tolerate that, and I've seen in many instances, folks wonder why there's so many weeds in their lawn, and they almost pickle it with chemicals, and it's because it's been sheared at 3/4 of an inch, and if they would let it grow up to 2.5 inches or 3 inches, those weeds would not even compete with the grass.
And it saves you money, too. You know, that's the other thing.
It does. And I have figures from the late 90s, but the average homeowner spends more than $500 a year on their lawn, and a lot of that's not needed.
Are you kidding me? Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I can guarantee you I'm below average.
I'm very below average, too.
And people that look at my lawn can tell I'm below average.
I know, I get this, too, but they're like, you're a horticulturist, and what is that?
Yeah, and I have to say, look, it's just a lawn. I mean, it's not meant to be the show part of my landscape. It's not my lawn. I have some perennials and trees and shrubs that I like to work with. So to me, it's just an accent to everything else that's going on.
Yes. Well, Jerry, thank you very much. And again, when's the Baby Animal Days?
The Baby Animal Days is this weekend on the 10th and the 11th. Not this weekend, but the coming weekend on the 10th and the 11th, Friday from 2 to 6, or from 2 to 8, and Saturday from 10 to 6. bring your mom. I mean, it's Mother's Day weekend. Bring your mom. Have the kids bring their mom, bring your grandma, or have mom and grandma bring the kids. And enjoy a fun day. You know, come spend a little while with us. We'll have vendors for food. We'll have, as I say, pony rides. We'll have the baby animals and the animals, bouncy houses, kids' activities. It's just a fun, just come and spend a couple hours with us and enjoy yourself.
Yes, and whole facility is a very beautiful one. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and know that you're helping both the youth and the environment, if you will, green space, develop new gardens that you can come back later and enjoy.
Yes.
So you're doing a good thing.
Thank you, Jerry. And you'll be co-hosting or you'll be substituting on the 24th of this month, you and JD, so we look forward to that too.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Tom. Bye.
All right, and we'll come back with more of your questions, starting out with Bryce this hour. Then we've got, it looks like, Claire, Kay, Jason, Kevin, and Elaine all waiting in the wings as well on KSL News Radio on the KSL Greenhouse Show.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat. Or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
If you're a full-time care provider for a loved one with Alzheimer's or any form of dementia, you experience stress in a unique and sometimes overwhelming way. Add kids on top of that, and well, sometimes you just need a break before you break. Some people have family and friends to help out, but not everyone is so fortunate. For anyone who needs a little assistance, there is help for you, and it's free. Birch Creek Home Care and Hospice has collaborated with Weber Human Services, Davis County Family Health and Senior Services, and the Alzheimer's Association Utah Chapter to offer caregivers a break at 10 different senior center locations throughout Weber, Davis, and Morgan counties. Each center offers a three-hour break, taking care of your loved one while providing them with socialization and cognitive activities, all supervised by a Birch Creek staff member with a CNA in attendance. As a caregiver, you need to take care of yourself and give yourself the break you deserve. You've probably heard that before. Now, for the benefit of your whole family, do something about it. For information on dates, locations, and times, call 801-389-0473.
Salad. Almonds, apples, bananas, and water.
Burgers and fries.
Potatoes. Oatmeal, yogurt, tuna, pineapple, raisins.
Chocolate candy, licorice, cake and cookies, fudge.
Wheat cereal, honey soy?
Bacon.
So the fight about junk food versus healthy food isn't always easy, but it's a battle parents should win.
Soup, crackers, pretzels, and strawberries.
Ice cream or milkshakes.
Beets. Celery, pears, walnuts, rice, corn, and carrots.
Because the truth is, the eating habits your children pick up now will likely be the same when they're adults.
Fries, donuts, and gummies.
Squash. Cabbage, cashews, salmon, oranges, and papaya.
Bonbons.
Learn more about better nutrition and healthier eating habits for your children from Intermountain Healthcare's Live Well Fitness Initiative at intermountainlivewell.org.
Brownies, hot dogs, and soda.
Asparagus, tomatoes, Brussels sprouts.
Blueberries?
Blueberries.
Visit intermountainlivewell.org today.
Is your company growing? Are you hiring but just can't find the right candidates? Hiring today isn't easy. Most job applicants now look online for job opportunities, and it's not always clear where on the internet you should post your job. And then, once applicants are rolling in, managing emails and spreadsheets can quickly become a chore. Let us help. HiringThing is online software that helps companies post jobs, manage applicants, and hire great employees. If you need to hire someone soon, we might be a perfect fit for your company. When you use HiringThing, we'll automatically advertise your open positions multiple places online and provide great tools, allowing you to accept online resumes, rate and review applicants, and share information with other managers. It's easy to use and free to get started. Visit us online at hiringthing.com to start a 30-day free trial. That's hiringthing.com.
Dial now to get the help you need with your plants inside and out. Call KSL Talk. That's 575-8255 to get KSL News Radio.
Great looking Saturday morning, heading into a fantastic Saturday afternoon. Daytime highs today expected to reach 72, 73 degrees, something like that, under mostly sunny skies. Let's head back to the phones on the KSL Greenhouse and go to Lehigh. Looks like we've got Bryce waiting in the wings. Bryce, good morning. Welcome in. Hello, Bryce. Let's put Bryce on hold to have Kat check in with him. In the meantime, we'll go to Centerville and say hi to Kevin. Kevin, go ahead with your question. I've got the right buttons going on here. Let's go ahead and try it again. Put Kevin on hold and go down to strike number three and talk with Jason. Jason, are you with us?
Yo, you betcha.
Okay, go ahead.
Fire blight was bad last year. I think I got it all. I had to cut out a whole bunch by the time I found it. Will it probably come back this year, and will it come back in bits and pieces? What do I do?
The first thing I would do is, are you already subscribed to the Utah Pests updates? Okay, watch those, and they'll tell you the danger and if you need to spray. So that's the first thing I would do, and it's just going to depend. So far, the fire blight danger hasn't been all that great because we've been relatively dry, and so fire blight becomes that it's the trees become their most susceptible when they're in blossom. We have warmer temperatures and rain. And so absolutely do not spray water on those trees when they're in blossom and just hope for the best. And watch your trees because you probably cut it all out. Every once in a while we'll miss here or there. And so you're going to need to keep an eye on it and you may need to do some further pruning.
Okay. That's about what I figured. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. On the fire blight, it's a disease that gets into many rose family plants, such as apples and pears especially, but many of our shrubs, Cotonia aster, Pyracantha, are susceptible to it. But the disease generally only gets into the plants when they're in blossom. And so if it's warm and wet while they're blossoming, that's when the fire blight danger is at its worst.
Okay. If I nip it in the bud, if I see the first diseased limb, and I cut that out, will I keep it from spreading, or is it already systematic?
It's not worked its way through the system yet. And so what you'll watch for is those blossom ends. You'll see the flagging in there, and you'll want to prune about 6 inches to a foot behind where you see that flagging on the branch tip. And that should keep out and keep it from spreading to the rest of the tree.
Okay, and that's the shepherd's crook?
Yes.
Starts looking goofy?
Yes. It'll start to bend over, and it's a little bit more prominent on the pears than it is the apples, that shepherd's crook.
Okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, Jason, let's check in with Kevin now. He looks like he's back with us in Centerville. Kevin, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I was turning over soil this morning. I've got a 4x14-foot spot next to my house on the south side. And I've had ants in here I've been fighting for a dozen years, and this soil I've been turning up is white. Is that some kind of mold? Or?
It could be. When I've turned over some soil sometimes, you will see fungal spores or something in there, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. Are you up on the bench or down in more in the valley?
In the valley in Centerville.
So are you closer to the Great Salt Lake? You also may be turning up what is called a lime or calcium carbonate, and it could just be that, you know, when the landscaper came in, they laid down a good foot to 18 inches of topsoil on top of what was there, and you could be turning up.
Well, I hadn't had it until the last maybe two or three years.
And it can work its way up through the soil, and so it would be worth... if it looks like it's more of a powder and not organic, it would be worth collecting a soil sample, getting a kit from the Farmington Extension Office out of the old courthouse, and mailing that off to USU to test the pH and other things on it to make sure you're not going to be running into problems in the future.
So I can go ahead and plant it today?
Well, you probably would be okay to plant, but with that white powder, I'm worried that you may have some lime or salts or something working their way up through the soil, being on the valley floor close to the Great Salt Lake.
Okay.
And so get the soil tested in the meantime, just to make sure you're not going to run into problems.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, I think we've got time to squeeze Kay in on this one. Kay, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I've got a question about a pear tree that we've had for years and years, and it's had problems over the years, but they just continue to get worse. We took a sample into the Extension Center, probably almost 10 years ago, and they told us it had fabria leaf spot and chlorosis. And we tried, spraying it. We tried putting iron all around at the drip line, drilling the holes down in and putting it on the leaves and different things. And nothing's really ever made a difference. Most of the tree at this point has the chlorosis. And now I've noticed last year that the bark is really rough with deep grooves in it and dry and flaking off. And I'm just, thinking that this might be a goner. After all we've tried to do for it, but I'm wondering if it could be something completely different, like maybe a girdling root.
It definitely could be. It can be very confusing because visual signs on leaves, when they develop the light green or the chlorosis symptoms, it's usually chlorosis, but it could be a girdling root. It could be a fungal disease in the roots that won't kill the tree, but it stays in there for years, and the tree will oftentimes leaf out, and then all of a sudden it goes chlorotic and starts to scorch. And so there could be a lot of things going on. And so if you wanted to try a last-ditch effort, you could, to make sure it's not iron, you could actually drill the trunk and put iron inserts right into the trunk, and then you would watch the new growth. And if that new growth doesn't come out dark green, you're probably not going to be able to salvage it with iron, and it may not be an iron problem. But you do hit a point to where you put so much money into trying to save the tree that it may just be time to cut it down and start over with a new tree, because there could be, like you said, a girdling root or a fungal disease in the roots that aren't killing the tree but making it so unhealthy that it just doesn't thrive. And so I would maybe try that iron treatment one more time and drill go into the trunk. If it doesn't work, turn it into firewood and start over.
Is there any chance that, you can do anything by the root,
No. Once those diseases are in there, you can't get them out. A little bit of iron in the trunk, a little bit of fertilizer. If it doesn't come out of it from that, then I think that you've done everything you can do. And at some point, unfortunately, we just hit a point that we have to walk away.
Does the fabria leaf spot get into the... this whole system of the
tree? It should not, and it should go away, especially if you've put fungicides on the tree.
Yeah, we did that. All right, I got another problem. We've got Concord grapes, and we've never had to do anything other than pruning and watering. They've just done beautifully. Until last year, for the first time, about a third of them got something that made the leaves really, really small and deformed, and the grapes, they actually came out, but they were, like a quarter of an inch across, just totally worthless. And I have no idea what it was.
If the leaves were small and deformed, and it was it random throughout the entire Concord grape patch or
no,
in one
it
spot?
Was just on one end. Just okay. One end.
I suspect that the grapes were exposed to 2,4-D or lawn weed killer through drift. And sometimes if you say lawn weed killer around a grape, it gets symptoms of that even being exposed, because I say that sarcastically, but they're highly susceptible to 2,4-D damage. And you could have had a neighbor treat 5 or 10 houses down, and if they sprayed when it was too hot, and then we talked about this at the top of the hour, that spray drift can just bounce around in the wind, and if it runs into those grapes, it won't show up for sometimes a month or 6 weeks, and all of a sudden a new growth just comes out stunted and deformed, and it can sometimes take a year to 2 years to totally get that out of the grape system.
Oh, okay. My last question is about a Fuji apple tree that's done beautifully over the years, but last year we missed our dormant oil spray and had the most horrendous infestation of the woolly aphids I've never seen anything like it. It just covered the fruit, the stems, the leaves, you know, just everything. We sprayed, but obviously I didn't use the right thing to spray it with. Is there a good chance that that's going to come back this year? We did do the dark
Yes,
weather.
There's a very good chance it's going to be back. They overwinter on the roots.
Uh-huh.
Use a systemic containing Merit. You can get a liquid. It's going to be, say, season-long tree and shrub insect control, and it's either going to be from Bayer or Fertilome. But any independent garden center will have both the Fertilome and Bayer product, and go ahead and treat the tree now. You'll be able to harvest the fruit and eat it, but that should do a pretty good job at keeping those woolly apple aphids at bay.
Did you say Merit?
Merit. The products contain Merit.
Okay, because I thought that was only for inedible.
No, there's a lot of products with Merit that are coming out for edibles. And supposedly, according to EPA, that it doesn't get into the fruit, according to testing, and that's why you can use it on your pear trees.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, looks like we are way late heading into news, but let's go there right now and check in with Dan Jessup in the KSL 24-Hour Traffic News Center.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, everyone. 10:33 in the KSL 24-Hour Newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. With eyes and ears on the ground all over Syria, military experts say Israel has the ability to track things that pose a threat to the Israeli state. U.S. officials say Israel hit several targets in Syria Friday. Retired Marine Colonel and ABC News military consultant Stephen Gagnard says these are targeted strikes.
Perhaps what happened was the Israeli saw that very sophisticated technologies, perhaps surface-to-air missile systems, were being moved by the Syrians towards Hezbollah, towards Lebanon, and they blew them up so that they would not reach Lebanon.
President Obama has been slow to respond to what's happened there in fear of creating a larger crisis.
I've got my car packed already, ready to go.
It's only May, but the wildfire season has already started in Southern California. Residents forced to flee their homes can only hope for the best.
Stay until I know that my house is still here.
The fire is now 20% contained. Favorable conditions today. Firefighters, including a crew from Draper, hope to have the fire under control and maybe even put down by Monday. The Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office has dismissed 26 more cases related to West Valley's narcotics unit. DA Sim Gill says there has been fallout in terms of perception in the legal system, but defends the work of law enforcement.
The conduct of one or some officers should not be a commentary on the otherwise honorable conduct of many good men and women in law enforcement who do their job professionally and honorably. They deserve better. Our citizens deserve better.
Gill says prosecutors aim to pursue the non-narcotic related parts of the dismissed cases in some manner wherever they possibly can. Coming up on KSL News Radio, what a nice day so far. Check your KSL forecast coming up. KSL News Time, 10:36.
Breaking news.
We're moving some equipment around so that we can make assessments of where we might be able to operate safely.
On KSL News Radio.
Utah Opera presents Rossini's The Barber of Seville, a rollicking masterpiece of comic opera that continues to delight audiences worldwide. Figaro, the clever and meddlesome barber, proves that a hairdresser could be the perfect matchmaker in this hilarious opera you're sure to love. Experience The Barber of Seville May 11th through 19th at Capitol Theater. Tickets start at $13. Get yours by visiting utahopera.org. Enter to win a free pair of tickets at kslnewsradio.com.
The most important step to a beautiful lawn is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years, and I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results? Get greener grass with less water, a lush, dark green, healthy lawn without brown spots and dry areas. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit Revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
A major innovation. I'm talking about high-definition voice.
People can't hear the full range of our voices.
That's right.
1 to 3 on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together, brought to you by the Lurie H. Miller Dealerships. Couple of problems southbound I-15 at 80th South. That's an earlier accident still in the clearing stages. That's southbound I-15 at 80th South. Make the other one northbound, 124th South. That's a more recent accident. It's going to take a while to get that cleared away. Nice day for the folks waiting in line to audition for The Biggest Loser outside our studios here at Triad Center. Sunshine now, maybe a shower later. Daytime high 72, 59 now at 10:38. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
The KSL Greenhouse. Become a master gardener, or at least make your neighbors jealous with KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse into the final half hour of the show, and we're going to go to West Jordan and check in with Claire. Claire, good morning. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse. Hello, hi, Claire. Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead, Claire.
Yeah, I've got a lawn that's about 25 years old, and it started out with pretty thick grass and thick blades, and now it's really thin blades, and it doesn't fill in very well, and I'm just wondering what to do about that.
Do you know why? Do you have any suspicions on why it's thinned out?
I don't. I mean, the lawn itself hasn't thinned out, but all the blades have gone really from thick blades to thin blades.
There's a few possibilities. One is that the lawn, when it was planted, it was quite common to put down an even mix of red fescue, bluegrass, and rye. And for whatever reason, the red fescue has outcompeted the other two grasses. It's a very thin-bladed grass, and when you mow it, it doesn't quite look polished, is the best way I can put it. Have you tried pulling up some of the grass to see how deeply rooted it is?
I have not.
Okay, try doing that, because there's a couple of other possibilities, and one of them is that you could have also been overtaken by annual bluegrass, which is almost, it's like a bad cousin to Kentucky bluegrass. The annual bluegrass is very thin-bladed, it grows very thickly in the spring and fall, dies out a little bit in the summer, but when you go, if it's been in for a few years, you go and try to pull it, and sometimes you'll pull up and you'll lift about 6 inches of stem before you actually get the roots, and it's very shallowly rooted. So look for that one, and the other one that will do something very similar is called bent grass. And if you golf a lot of times you can drag bent grass home on golf clubs or your cleats. And if you put those plugs into your grass everywhere you walk, you can develop actually a bent grass patch in those spots.
Okay, so that's maybe what it is, but what do I do about it?
That's the million-dollar question. And is your soil fairly clay?
It is.
I would recommend it. And also, does the lawn get a lot of traffic?
Not a lot, no.
Okay. I would recommend aerating at least once a summer. Do that in the spring when the grass is growing a little bit more aggressively. And as soon as you're done aerating, go ahead and put down a grass seed, a Kentucky bluegrass seed, and top dress with about a pound of grass seed per 1,000 square feet, maybe 2 pounds per 1,000. And then mow, before you put the grass seed down, mow the plugs you pull out back into the turf, put the grass seed down, water it to keep it moist so that the grass will germinate, and see if you can get that Kentucky bluegrass to outcompete the other grass that is there. And you'll do that for 2 or 3 years. And the other option is, if that doesn't work and you're just very dissatisfied, is just to go ahead and kill the lawn out and start over.
Okay, so really just like overseeding, like golf course.
Yes, overseed. Download Turf Care for Northern Utah Lawns from USU website. If you Google Turf Care for Northern Utah Lawns and USU, it'll bring it up. It'll give you mowing instructions, watering instructions, fertilizing instructions, and use those steps. Top dress with that grass seed and see if over a period of a couple of years you can restore it. If not, your next measure is to go ahead and start over.
Okay, and I guess the next question is, how much difference is there really between these lawn care companies and what they use versus, you know, what you get for, like, weed and feed and stuff like that? In
a lot of the chemicals they use are commercial grade, and so what they would buy would be a lot more concentrated, but they dilute it down to about the same rates you would use. And so if you are going to a garden center and, say, you buy Trimac or Ortho Weed Be Gone, the rate that you put it down is almost the exact same that the professional guys would. And so 80% of the time you're actually using very similar or the exact same products that they are.
Okay. Thank okay. you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for your question, Claire. Let's check in with Elaine now in West Jordan. Go ahead with your question.
Hello. I have some vines. I have a honeysuckle and clematis, and I just don't understand how to prune those. They have the big, long, brown, dead-looking stalks, but on the end of those stalks is where the green come out. And are you still there?
We're here.
And so if I, and the only way I can think to figure out is to off the trellis, and if you do that, then you've lost all that having to grow up the trellis. I don't understand how to prune them.
The clematis can be very tricky, and you almost need to get a book and look up the particular variety you have, because some of them are pruned in the spring, some in the summer, and some in the fall. And the most common time is either spring or fall, but not knowing what kind you had is difficult to say, besides letting them leaf out and just taking the dead vines out on both of them. Now, especially on the honeysuckle, if you made the decision to maybe, you know, cut that pretty close to the ground, it would come back. You wouldn't get flowers for a year or two, but it would come back, and it'd be something that you could work with a little more, because they do get to the point where they can get kind of rangy and ungainly, and they do need to be rejuvenated.
So that would be the thing to do, just cut it to grass.
You could do that, or you could maybe try to thin out some of the biggest, worst offending branches and leave the younger ones behind.
Take about a third out.
Yes, you could try renewal pruning. That's the problem. Yeah, they wind and trail and things, and they can be quite difficult.
Yeah. Okay, and then I have a flowering cherry tree that I wrapped last year at your suggestion last fall. And when do I take the wrap off that for the sun scald?
Now is a great time. You generally put that wrap on in late October and get it off in late March. Okay. You haven't harmed anything leaving it on, but you don't want to leave it on too long, because it can attract insects and things for protection that you may not want in there.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks there, Elaine. We've got Justin, Joseph, Nancy, Joe, and Lita checking in from American Fork. We'll take more of your phone calls as well on the other side. We're going to jump into this break just a little bit early so we have more time on the other side on the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Good, better, best. Good is choosing a certified public accountant to help you with your financial records and taxes. Better is one with experience and knowledge of your personal and business needs. Best is one who belongs to the Utah Association of CPAs. As you think about your tax return preparation this year, especially in the light of the confusing and always changing tax laws, consider this. CPAs will save you the most money on your taxes. CPAs are more competitive price-wise than the big box store preparation guys. CPAs are the most qualified to prepare your taxes and get you the most money back you deserve. Along with extensive tax expertise, CPAs can also provide you business advising, financial planning, general accounting, and investment advising. Hire a CPA and be sure you're getting the most out of your taxes. Go to uacpa.org to find a CPA that's right for you. That's uacpa.org. Brought to you by the Utah Association of CPAs.
I'm back with Greg at Replenish Landscape Garden Products. It's my first stop of the spring to help take care of what Mother Nature has left behind after a long, hard winter. And Greg, we start with Replenish Compost.
It's a very versatile material, low in salts, high in microorganisms and nutrients. A great product for either a top dressing or a soil amendment.
And while they're here picking up their Replenish, there are 18 other great products also available.
We have 5 different varieties of natural bark. We have the colored wood mulches, 2 premium soils that are just excellent to plant directly into. We also carry the Ulite products and Nutribulch.
And of course, they can buy it in bulk, bag, or you'll blow it right in.
Our blower truck service is a great way to put a lot of material down quick, save your back, and get you out of the wheelbarrow shovel routine.
Get your yard and garden off to a great start to the growing season by coming to Replenish, 4660 South, 200 West in Murray. Call 262-5142 or check them out online at replenishcompost.com. It's good stuff.
Come on, man. I know you have those pills for ADD or whatever.
Sorry, man.
Hey, please, just a couple. Help me out here.
Some things you just shouldn't share.
Look, you know I have that test tomorrow.
Like prescription drugs.
Not a good idea, dude.
Come on. Your mom never taught you to share? Two pills.
Too dangerous.
Oh, please, buddy, pal. I gotta stay awake. I don't pass that test tomorrow.
Okay, okay. Tell you what I'll do.
Oh, you're the best, man.
I will lend you my lucky underwear.
What?
Fruit of Legume, special edition.
Seriously?
They're lucky. They're really lucky, man. Try them.
Yes, some things you just don't want to share.
When was the last time you washed these?
You don't wash lucky underwear.
Learn more about the dangers of sharing prescription drugs and how to store and dispose of them safely at useonlyasdirected.org.
What's this?
It's my lucky streak.
Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Are your credit cards maxed out? Not paying some bills so you can take care of others? Or are you behind on the rent or utility bills? There is no better time than now to get your finances in order. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling, a nonprofit organization, offers a number of steps you can take to get yourself on the way to living debt-free. Track your spending for 1 month and record all your expenses, what kind and how much you spent. Use that to figure out where you can trim the fat. Look for low-cost alternatives to reduce expenses. Pack your lunch instead of buying it. Go to the library instead of the bookstore. When your credit card bills arrive, pay more and pay extra, exceeding the minimum payment. For more tips on how to recover from debt or get help in developing a budget, contact the NFCC to reach a certified counselor at 1-800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. That's 1-800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. A public service message from the NFCC.
Boy, Todd, we cleared out the deck pretty well, so let's see. We've got about 8 minutes left in the show, as Tim would say. As we head to the phones and dive right in, we've got Justin calling from South Jordan. Justin, good morning. Welcome into the KSL Greenhouse.
Yes, hello. I just had a few questions about my redbud tree. Now, about 5 years ago, I planted two redbud trees in my park strip, and it's a south-facing park strip. Last year, one of them died, and I removed it. The other one is seems to be healthy, but I noticed this spring it's only blooming on probably half the branches and the tips, you know, probably half of the tips of the branches aren't blooming at all. Is there something I need to do to care for that better?
Scratch the bark on the branches that are not blooming to see if those branches are still alive, and you will see light green tissue underneath the bark. And just use a sharp knife, and you don't need to carve in, but just hold the knife vertical and scrape back and forth a little bit to get a 16th of an inch in. And if it's not alive, prune out the dead and then see if you can maintain the tree the best you can. Maybe give it a little fertilizer to encourage some growth. Those red buds, the first 2 or 3 years can be quite tricky sometimes to get established, where 6 or 7 out of 10 do fantastically, but they sometimes can be a little bit maddening trying to get them going.
Okay, now is there a forest pansy variety? Is there another variety that might I could replace the one that died with that might be a better choice for a south facing?
Well, a standard red bud, the forest pansy, is a variety that leaves out red, fades to green, and then the tips will be red on the new growth. And why folks plant it is because it's quite pretty, but it's a little less vigorous than standard redbud, and so if you wanted to match somewhat with a redbud that was more vigorous, just standard redbud would be an option.
Okay, but the forest pansy would be fine for that?
It would be fine. I mean, just keep in mind that those redbuds, I don't want to sell them as something that's impossible to plant. It's just those first few years, they can be a little more touchy until they get their roots out than some other trees.
Okay, great. Hey, another quick question on peach trees. I planted a peach tree last fall. toward the end of the season. Do I need to treat that this year for borers?
Most likely not. The peach twig or peach tree borer, which either one, usually attack trees that are more mature. And so 3 or 4 years down the road, once that trunk gets 1.5 or 2 inches wide, is when you would go ahead and start treating when it comes into full production.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Not a problem. Have a good day.
All right, Justin, let's head to West Valley now and check in with Nancy. Nancy, go.
Hi. Someone gave me about an 18-inch horseradish plant, and they said I needed to plant it in a container. How deep do I plant that?
You are going to put that in so that the top of it, or the crown, is about an inch under the soil. And you need to have plenty of room for those to root down. And so the bottom of the root, where the bottom of the root is, you're still going to want a good 6 inches of potting soil under there to allow it to be healthy.
Okay. So the tops are all green, and so I'm going to plant it that deep?
Yes. Now, it's already leafing out.
Uh-huh.
If it's leafing out, at the point it's leafing out, that should be right at the soil surface.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you.
You can download, there is a USU fact sheet on horseradish, and if you go Google USU and horseradish in the garden, it'll give you some good tips on it.
Okay, okay? Thank you.
You are welcome.
All right, with that, let's go to American Fork and check in with Lita. Lita, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I listen to The Greenhouse every Saturday, which I love, and so I appreciate you guys being able to give us all the information. I was wondering, what instead of buying a globe willow, what kind of tree can I buy that grows somewhat fast and has good shade and a deep root system?
I'm silently applauding you in the studio right now for staying away from the globe willow. Those are a tree that's only used where nothing else is an option. And so for something that's going to be moderately fast growing and deep rooted, I would look at common hackberry. That is a great one. It won't grow nearly as fast, but it will be around in 30 or 40 years, and it still grows 18 inches a year at least once it's established. Another one I mentioned earlier is Japanese Zelkova. That one will be around for a number of years, and I've seen numerous Zelkovas down through Orem and in Utah County and Provo, so they do well in the area.
Is it Gokova?
Zel, Z-E-L-K-O-V-A. And if you can find it, another excellent option is State Street Maple.
Okay, great.
She's writing these down, Tom.
Yes. I am.
Yes. And if you go to the Tree Browser website, treebrowser.org, you can put in your requirements and it'll generate a list of trees for you. And then you can talk. I'm in the Utah County Extension Office, but if you want to stop by garden centers or whatever, they can get you helped out and kind of look at your list and see what's available.
Hey, well, I really appreciate it, and thank you again.
Not
for
a problem.
Everything that you guys do for us.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Ton, what is that website for the Tree Browser again?
Treebrowser.org.
And that's going to let us know what trees, as long as we kind of put in our parameters.
Yes, it has a checklist, and you can put in the size, you can put in flowering, you can put in bark color, and you can do all these specifications, and you can get a list. And then sometimes the trees are a little less common, but it gives you enough options that you can find at least some of them at local garden centers.
All right, let's clear the deck and talk with Joe in Payson. Joe, you're the last caller. Go ahead with your question.
All right. Can you hear me?
Oh, we got you.
Okay, good. Hey, so my wife and I, we had gotten, I think they were unanimous last year. Anyway, we're redoing our yard, and we kind of wanted to get some ornamental grasses that are perennials. And we were just wondering, I've looked at the USU Extension website. They mentioned a couple. I'm wondering, what is the best type, and maybe where's the best place to get those?
How big do you want the grasses to get?
What's that?
How big do you want the grasses to get?
Well, I think it would be cool if the little, I don't know what they're called, the fronds, the little things that pop out off the top, if those were, I'd like those to be, you know, definitely taller than the rest of it, but
okay.
As for total height, I mean, I think we'd be okay with I don't know how big, like not probably not over 2 feet.
Okay. I would look at some of the perennial fountain grasses. There are some spectacular fountain grasses out there. And you should be able to get a number of varieties from Olson's has a retail outlet down there that they may have a few, but Linden Nursery, Cook's, Sun River Gardens, there's so many of them I don't want to miss, but there's several good outlets in Utah County that you can get at, but Cook's always has a great selection along with Linden Nursery, so.
Good. Well, and then we're kind of thinking too, what we've already got there, we've got some smoke bushes. And so we're hoping to get something that'll track those. And so we were kind of thinking maybe like blue oak grass, but...
Those would be fantastic too.
Would they?
Elijah Blue Fescue, blue oak grass, any of... There's so many. It's a topic for... We could do a whole show on it. And I'm in the Utah County Extension Office. If you wanted to call the Extension Office, I'd be happy to talk to you for, you know, however long it takes to help you find what you need, so...
Got what we want. All right, perfect. Well, thanks for your time.
You are welcome.
All right, thanks, Joe. And that's another week in the books, Ton, on KSL Greenhouse.
KSL News Radio is celebrating Mother's Day with prizes any mom would love. Visit KSLNewsRadio.com today to win our KSL Mother's Day grand prize, including an overnight stay with brunch at the Grand America Hotel, a $200 shopping spree from R.C. Willie, a one-year supply of product from Green THP, and a $200 gift card for carpet cleaning, courtesy of Zero Res. That's $1,400 worth of prizes. Enter today. Go to KSLNewsRadio.com and tell us about the special mom in your life. That's KSLNewsRadio.com.
Old MacDonald had some ground with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch, and in that ground he plants some seeds with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. With a strong plant here and a strong plant there, here a plant, there a plant, everywhere a strong plant. Now Old MacDonald has a farm with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. Nutrimulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA Country Stores. See Nutrimulch.com. Let's talk turkey. Premium turkey manure compost from Nutrimulch. Putting Nutrimulch in your ground before planting assures that you have a nutrient-rich and plant-friendly medium in which to produce the finest crops, flowers, and shrubs. Using lesser compost cheats your plants and hurts production. So this year, don't chicken out and use inferior products. You could end up with just a load of bull. Always use Nutrimulch before you plant. Nutrimulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA Country Stores. See Nutrimulch.